Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go back over in our subject again today, the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about those areas. I've surely been teaching it differently than I've ever taught this subject before, looking at it. But we've been dealing a lot with the manifestations. I was dealing a lot with how God uses me and sometimes in other people, how God uses people through manifestations of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote about this. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Concerning things of the Spirit, God doesn't want you and I ignorant about. He wants us to understand the things about the spirit realm. See, when people make statements like, well, you know, God's, you know, doesn't show us things and he hides things from him, you can't find that scripturally. Scripturally, in the New Testament, God's whole purpose is to reveal to you. God wants you to know how the spirit realm operates. Why? Because that's the place of your life. I mean, how are you ever going to hook up with the Holy Spirit if you don't know about the spirit realm? That'd be an impossibility. God would be working against himself to keep you ignorant. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin. I was a young Christian, and the first time I ever heard somebody preach about God, it made sense. And he said, well, if God's keeping you ignorant, then God's your problem. He's not your answer. He's your problem. God's not keeping you ignorant. Ignorance is what the devil wants to keep you in. Religion is based in ignorance. That's how leaders in those religions can dominate people's lives and rule over them, by keeping them ignorant. God don't want Ed Gibson to be the genius and you guys not know anything. What's the point of me teaching and you don't know anything? Then I'm wasting my time. God wants you to know the things that I'm teaching you. He wants you to understand. He wants you to be able to walk in it. He wants you to be able to live in it. He wants you to experience the blessing of it. Not me tell you what he did for me. It's fine that I can do that, but so you can tell others what he does for you. Hallelujah. It's for all of us. It's not for a select few. It's not for the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It is for the entire body of Christ. Every one of us has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everyone. Those spiritual blessings, if you don't understand the spiritual realm, you'll never know how to walk in those spiritual blessings. Because those spiritual blessings are what affects this realm that we live in. So you need to have to know them. Well, Paul went on. There, I'm going to skip some verses. In 12, it says, I want to skip down to verse 4. It said, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So in other words, it is as the Spirit wills. We talked about these things. We don't really, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we are not talking about something we own. It's not giftings that I have a switch and I turn it on. I see many people that say, well, I have this certain gift and I have certain gifts may operate through you, maybe more prevalent. But I want you to understand this because I want to talk to you about this morning. Most of the time, and I've learned since the time before I was ever in the ministry, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Spirit started happening through me. And I just thought it was a norm, and I read the Bible and found out it was supposed to be. That was the purpose of it. It's to be a testimony for Christ. Jesus told them, you guys wait down here in Jerusalem and don't go till you get the power on high so you can be a witness to me. There's no such thing as witnessing to Jesus Christ without demonstration of the Holy Ghost. God wants people to know that Jesus is alive. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to reveal Jesus. He takes what belongs to Jesus and he shows it to us so we can show others. That's why he does it. He reveals Jesus so we can reveal Jesus. Jesus is dead and only words in the book without manifestation. In most of the church world, Jesus is dead. He is only words in a book. Those words in the book, if they can't manifest themselves, of what purpose? What would have been doing me any good to get born again and it didn't manifest in my life and I stayed a drunkard and in drugs? What would be the point of the new birth? What good is it to get born again and I just end up the same idiot, the same moron I was, and doing all the same dumb stuff that I was doing? What now? If that's what it was just a matter of getting born again. No, it's the power of God through the Holy Spirit is to change lives. God manifests himself through his power. There is no such thing as a church without power. Power is what operates in the church. We're a supernatural church. We're a supernatural people. You were brought into the kingdom supernaturally. There is no greater thing that ever took place in a human being than one to become born again. One who had a nature of sin, and that nature of sin was removed, and now the nature of God's in you. There's no more incredible thing that happened. The Bible talks about God redeeming man. It talks about God's creation. It said when God put the stars in motion, it said he used his fingers. His fingers put the stars in. And it talks about all the things out there that he used his fingers and he did this. But the Bible talks about redemption. To redeem man, it says that God used his arm to redeem man. The greatest power that was ever used by God is when Jesus Christ took man's sin and went into hell and then was born again out of hell. And through that, all humanity could be born again through him. No greater power was ever in demonstration. And all the church has to say is, well, he forgave us of our sins. Good Lord, if that's all I got out of this deal, Jesus wasted his time. I could have killed a goat and got my sins forgiven. I mean, what nonsense! The church is full of nonsense. It's lost the place of power. The demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has never been holding back. Even though these operate by the will of God, the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit has been willing to operate them. And the church has preached, stop, stop, don't do anything, it's all over. We got saved, got our sins forgiven. We're just going to sit around and wait till the devil kills us and we go home with Jesus. See, we need to come back over because the power of God, if the church was founded in the power of God, how can we leave it and think today? Are people today much more nicer than they were back then? Are people living so much better? We don't need the power. They only needed that power to start the church. Dear Lord, if any time we need power, it's today. Glory to God. In this heathen world we live in a heathen church world. The church is as heathen as the world around it. Accepting every ugly thing that comes along. My word, you can be a homosexual, any pervert you want to be, you can get to be a preacher. My God, they'll let you in the door, come and oh, will it? Oh man, this is exciting. There's no sin no more. Why? There can't be sin because all the churches are living in sin. Dear Lord, you can't start calling out sin. You have to close the doors. Dear Lord, won't be anybody be able to be in the place. Jesus Christ, through the new birth, freed us from sin. No means we never missed the mark, but I'll tell you what, I don't want to sin. I know what sin did in my life. I lived 30 years under sin, and it's great weight. Hallelujah. And now I'm on the other side of this 37 years living with God. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. Glory to God. And in this wonderful God that we have, he gives me the opportunity to preach his gospel. I'll tell you what, he's got a sense of humor. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like our God, folks. Glory to God. Let me just share with you here. The Apostle Paul wrote about these gifts here. And I want to talk to you about them this morning because now, there's 9 gifts. And generally in teaching about these gifts, if you would like get Kenneth Hagin's book, he has a book on gifts of the Spirit, which is very good. I mean, that's where I cut my teeth on that book and also on a series of teachings that he did on them. Also, there's a book that Kenneth Hagin used. In fact, he got a lot of his teaching from Howard Carter. And his book on gifts of the Spirit was a very good one. Howard Carter years ago, wrote a book. I have a copy, I guess, and it isn't that old. I mean, I think might still have it in publication, but it's an excellent book on gifts of the Spirit. And they break them into categories, really, to help from a teaching standpoint. But I want you to understand this. Because we break things down into areas of teaching, We need to make sure that we don't confine God to our areas that we make, how we make it. We need to be very careful. And I want you to understand as teaching this. Like they break the gifts down, which is really good. They call what they call, there's three revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And those gifts just operate. The word of wisdom really speaks to the future. God can give you a word and understand it's a word of wisdom. It didn't say a sentence. He didn't say he's getting a word of witness. I always thought Kenneth Hagin said God gives people a word and they'd make a sentence out of it. He said it's good. But in other words, God can tell you something and reveal things. And we have that with the prophets. You look at the prophets in the Old Testament. These gifts worked back then. And they spoke about the future. That was a word of wisdom. And a word of knowledge, words of knowledge have to do with what's going on around you right now, what's happening present tense, or what has happened in the past. God will give you a word of knowledge, which are very good. The discerning of spirits is really being able to see into the realm of the spirit and seeing spirits that are behind things. In other words, spiritually, what spirit is like today? You know, most people, the church today, majority teaches psychology. And they try to, you know, somebody has a demon problem and they're trying to get psychology, you know, and talk to him about psychology. And, you know, the devil loves psychology. In fact, he teaches it. And he's given a lot of the theories that they teach on this stuff. But the whole thing of it is nobody ever deals with the spirit behind things. And sometimes you're not going to ever see things clear up till you understand what's behind it, what's causing it, dealing with cause. The Lord dealt with me one time years past here. And he said to me one day, because of dealing with, I was going through a thing with a problem and that stuff, and I'd been over a period of time, and, you know, I was getting nowhere. And finally, the Lord said to me one day, he said, "You're like a doctor that only treats symptoms." He said, "You keep just dealing." This is what the Lord said to me. He said, "It's like a person has a headache." He said, "A person could have a headache for many reasons." He said, "A person could have a tension headache." He said, "They're worrying about something." He said, "A person could have a headache because they have a tumor in their brain." This is what the Lord said to me. Talk to me about this. He said, "If you take an aspirin," he said, "that tumor in the brain," he said, "you might feel a little bit better, but," he said, "that thing ain't going away." In other words, you're going to have to deal with things. You have to know what's going on to what you're dealing with. And he equated to the fact that this is what I was doing. I had a problem, but I didn't know what my problem was. I want to tell you why some of you have gone through some things for such long periods of time. It's because you've never really asked God. You think you know what's going on. And you never stop and ask God, "God, what's really making this thing tick? Why? What don't I know that I need to know?" See, sometimes we think we know what's causing things. I found this out with people over the years. Sometimes people won't admit about themselves what's causing the problem because they don't want to deal with themselves. "No, it's so and so. If they only straightened out, everything would be wonderful." I've learned this over the years, and I've watched it with marriages. If two people have a problem, and even if one of them got trouble, and you end up having to get a divorce because things really get rotten, I've often told people this: if you don't change your life, you're going to end up having to live with you anyhow. Even if you leave that person and you're messed up, you're going to carry messed up with you, and it ain't going to change. And now you can't throw the rock at them. Well, they will for years. They'll complain and say, "The reason I'm messed up is because of what they did to me." You know, it's like people say, you know, I remember the Lord showed me one time as people saying, "Well, you know, I was born and raised in a bad family and they did all this and they did all that." See, what psychology does, they get you together with 47 other people that had that problem and they get you to sit down and talk with each other all the time about how bad you were treated. Well, the Lord never allowed me to get away with that. He'd always stop. He'd say to me, "You know what's wrong. I don't care." He said, "I don't care what happened in your past. You know what to do to correct it. You correct that." God, you know, this is why I'm totally convinced why a lot of people don't want to hear from God. I'm convinced that a lot of people don't want God to speak to them because he did one time and they didn't like what they heard and they closed their ears after that. I found out God talks to me about me quite often and I don't always like what I hear. But I've learned this: if he tells me it's right, I don't care if I want to admit it or not. But you'll never change as long as there's things you don't want to hear or you don't want to deal with. God wants us and he wants to deal with us. But God wants to move by his spirit among people. God's desire is that, to manifest himself in ways, demonstrate himself so you can hear. You cannot effectively minister to people. I don't know how pastors understand or do things who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I personally don't understand, because I didn't go to school long enough to become a rocket scientist. I didn't go to school long enough. And I found out the guys I run into, a rocket scientist, usually know very little about God. And they got all these ideas, and they're really nice and really wonderful. But if God don't show me things, it's number one, I don't care how much it looks like somebody has a certain problem. I don't care how it looks. I've learned this over time. I don't like Christian books that generalize, if you got this problem, then this is wrong. Or if you got that problem, then this is wrong. Because I found out it would be wonderful if it was that simple, but it's not. I've seen people that seem to have the identical problem, but what was causing it on each one of them was a total different reason. And without the Spirit of God, you would not know. You wouldn't know. There are people who seem to have the same kind of disease. One of them is enforced by demons and the other one's not. And if you don't know it, you can lay your hands on for healing on that person till you rub every hair off their head, and nothing will ever change till that demon's dealt with. Yet the other person over here will get healed by a gift of healing. If you don't know that, that's why some people never get set free. Because everybody wants everything the same way. We want in a nice little can. I have this done. I have that done. The Holy Ghost does not work that way. If He did, we wouldn't need this gift stuff. We wouldn't need these things. We'd have no need for them. We could just observe with the eye and say, this is what we're going to do. We don't have to have the Holy Spirit operate the gifts of healing. We'll just tell Him when He needs to do it. The gift of healing, if there's demons involved, many times you're going to have to deal with the demon. You're going to have to deal with demonic powers. Paul said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But I'm going to tell you what, but the church is all about wrestling against flesh and blood. It's all about people. No, lots of times things that go on, it's stuff that is hidden from the eye. You can't see with the eye, and you can't know. If God doesn't show me things about your life to help you, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I think, why do you have me preaching and teaching this? Just like this morning, I get really nice notes I write down. And I have big plans. My God, wonderful plans. And already I can see we ain't going there. And I think, but see, the anointing comes. God knows things I don't know. But He wants to minister to you. And my job is to let the Holy Spirit do through me what He wants so you get helped. It's not about making Ed look good. It's so you get helped. I'm not God. I don't know what's messed up in your life, and I don't know everything that's good about your life. I don't know. And I don't need to, because I ain't God. It'd be a messed up thing. It's like Kenneth Hagin told us. He said, if God would have ever given me the gift of healing to use at my will, He said, I'd have healed all the wrong people. But we need to understand that these gifts, God desires to move by His Spirit. I want, you know, and I'm just going to say this to you. We desire, like say, the gift of faith. They call them power gifts. Gift of faith, working on miracles, and gifts of healings. They're power gifts. And I've had these operate through me at times and that stuff. I've never seen myself, or I've never viewed myself as having any certain gift. At one time in all of my life, I have had every manifestation of every gift operate through me. The Bible tells us we're supposed to desire the best gift. Now think about the thinking of that. If He was talking about you get this one gift operates through you and you get this other one, it doesn't work that way. Most times, I have more than one gift that will go into operation at the same time to bring the effect that God wants to do. Almost every time that I have any manifestation of a gift of healing operates through me, it's because I had a word of knowledge. And I knew what to do to follow the word of knowledge. And when I did that, followed what the word of knowledge came to me to do. And I did that, and a gift of healing went into operation. Many times I find out they work together. They're simultaneous. And it says we're supposed to want the best gift. Let me ask you this. If you needed, say, some wisdom about something or something like that, would it be best to have the gift of healing in operation? We're supposed to desire. In other words, our desire has something to do about how the Holy Ghost moves. Well, As studying these things over the years, I put myself over in the area where I desire all these gifts. I don't desire one of them. It bothers me when I hear people say, well, I have this gift. Like people say, well, I have the gift of healing. Lots of times to minister to healing to people, you're going to need more than the gift of healing to minister, because there's things you need to know. Because you want people to operate in faith. One of the things that I found out using the word of knowledge, many times I'll say to a person a certain thing, and they'll know that God revealed something. So when I minister healing to them, they're very open to let me minister to them. They'll respond in faith. And so it is really good when that goes into operation, because it helps the person's faith. See, God knows that stuff. Now, sometimes the gift of faith goes in operation. I've had the gift of faith. And really, it's called I like the term special faith, because it's not your own faith. My God, I've had that thing kick in on me already. And I know when I'm operating, I couldn't regularly believe for this thing. But I know for sure God's going to. I just know that I know. You can't just override, use your faith and get everybody everything they want or everything they desire. They have to learn how to believe. The gift of faith goes in and it does things. But I found out this over the years, the gift of faith. There's things that have to be opened up so God many times can operate in a gift of faith. I've told you guys before, is that one time a gift of faith operated in me, and I wanted to know. See, I want to know. I just don't want to sit down and say, well, you know, God can do this, God do this. I want to know how and why God does things. When I see God do something for somebody, I want to know why He did it. Because, see, if I know why He did it, then I can respond in the same way and get the same effect. See, if you just throw stuff out there, you can't know. Well, I found out there's things to do that enhance gifts of the Spirit. Number one, if you want gifts of the Spirit to go in operation for your benefit, you need to know how to respond to God. You need to know some things. Many Christians have their foot on the brake and then asking God to move. And their foot's tight on the brake. They have their ideas and concepts of what they want and how they want it. And God, you can't move outside of my box. I got my faith going here. Or I'm doing this. I found out sometimes I have to get Christians to quit praying so I can get something done for them. Because they keep praying wrong. And if you can't get them to stop, you can't get nothing for them. See, I don't believe you got a problem. You just pray. If you aren't praying intelligently, then you're talking stupid. You want to know. You don't just go pray about things. You find out, go to the Word, what you need to know, and then carry it in the face of God and say, here, Lord God, this is what your Word says about this. I'm in a dilemma. And the Bible says you'll do this. So I'm here, hallelujah, you're going to deliver me. I just want to thank you because your Word. People don't. They say, oh help, dear God, do something. Send somebody, do something. Oh God, I'm in trouble. Oh God, heal me. And we go through this stuff. When I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, I've told the story, but the Holy Spirit just keeps me, yeah, I'll tell it. Okay. I've bypassed it two times now, and He's called me back to it. Anyhow, I was there, and I was in this room, and a woman come walking through who I knew who worked at Reese's for years, and she was coming through, and I could see she had been crying. And so I stopped her, and I asked her, I said, what's going on? And we're just by ourselves. I said, what's happening? What's going on? She said, well, my mom, she said, has cancer. And she said, they just took her to the hospital. She said, I'm going to be leaving work here soon. They took her in. I'll never forget. It was a Thursday. To this day, I remember it was a Thursday. They said, she probably won't live through the weekend. And she's going to get. And I said, how old is your mom? She said, like, her mom was 60 years old. And I remember just thinking, 60 years old? You're dying. You got grandkids. All that. You shouldn't be leaving this earth. She shouldn't be going nowhere. So she said she's going to be leaving and going. So anyhow, I'll never forget this. I'm in this room working. In fact, I'm on a forklift. And I'm by myself. And I remember, and I said, I spoke out loud to the Lord. I'm by myself. I talk out loud to God. So if you walk in on something, I could be holding a big conversation. You think that man's insane. And he is. Let me alone. You know, you never know what insane people will do. So and I just talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, Lord, this woman's 60 years old. She's got grandkids and all this. I said, she's leaving this earth. I said, this just don't seem right. And just as clear. I mean, I ain't Mr. Preacher, I ain't pastor in front of the church. I hadn't even gone to Bible school at this time. And I'm on a forklift that you stand on, and I'm standing on this forklift. And just as clear, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, you rebuke death from her and command it to leave her and tell her to live and not die, and she'll live and not die. Well, when he said that, an anointing come on me. And I knew what it was. It's a gift of faith. Now see, generally with my faith, I didn't know where she was, what she was believing, or what I just can't throw my. I could pray for her, ask for God for wisdom and stuff, and you know, Lord, we want the, we're, you know, you could intercede for an individual. But this just came on me, and I knew it. And I just, in the name of Jesus, I said, "Death, you leave her right now in the name of Jesus, and I command that body to live and not die." And I knew for sure that that was done. I knew it. I knew it for sure. Well, the following week, she's back at work and so I see her not till about midweek because she worked in another department where I did, and I saw her, and I said to her, I said, "Hey," I said, "how did it go with your mom?" Because I see, you know, because I figured if my mom died, she wouldn't be back at work. She'd be off, you know, her mom. She said, "my mom's cancer went in remission. They got her out of the hospital. She's doing great." I said, "everything's turning around." I said, "glory to God." I never told her why or what. I've learned all the time because sometimes, you know, she was a Christian lady, but she wouldn't have understood what I was talking about. If I'd have talked to her about it, she'd have probably thought, this man's squirrely as the day is long. But I got a question in my mind with the Lord. Because, see, there's things you have to learn. And if you don't get these, you know, sometimes the Christians are too willing to let things go by and not ask God why certain things happen. Because I said to the Lord, "Lord, I'd love to do that more often." People, why was I able to do that for her? Why did you move in such the way that you could? I wanted to know. Well, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything to me right at that time. And a couple times passed, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to know, why could you do that?" I said, "I don't know about you. I'd like to see that happen more often. I'd like to see more of that." Well, one day, this woman was sitting and talking with some other ladies, and I walked at a table. I walked up, and she was there because I wanted to talk to her. But I walked up and listened. I was listening to her talk, and she was talking about her mom. And she said, "my brothers and sisters, we had been praying for my mom and praying for my mom." And she said, "things just got worse and got worse." And she said, "we just finally released her and gave her to the Lord. We realized we were getting nowhere with this." And when she said that, the Lord said yes. And when they finally released it, I could get someone that I could use to take care of that. You see, he could not have me do that till they released. See, they had the authority. You need to understand, your problem, you have the authority over it. And if you won't release it, other people can't help you. If you're going to carry the weight up it and you're going to keep heading in a direction of unbelief, that's what they were doing. They were just praying unbelief. But they finally got smart enough to say, "we don't know, we ain't making this thing work, let's just give her to the Lord." See, that's what they're casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know that casting your care on some things means sometimes you knock off your praying because it ain't working and say, "God, get somebody with some good sense to do something." People don't do that. No, I got to carry the word, I got to do it till I kill them. Kenneth Hagin then said this some years later, and I caught on to it. He said, "you know, if I can get a person to kick themselves into neutral and not work against me, I can get a lot of things from people." That's why a lot of people, you can't. People won't admit if they don't have faith in an area. If I can't believe for something, I don't try to play no game with it. I want to have something done. God may be able to do something for you without another person if you'll kick into neutral. But if you keep working against him in your worry and your fears of things, you stop the power of God from working. Many times that's why gifts don't go into operation. Because people don't see it. They're working against the Spirit of God. There's nobody. I never ran into anybody that can just up and believe everything and can take a hold of everything. I sure can't. But we grow and develop, we should be, to be able to take a hold of more. But when we're not reaching out to it, and I want to tell you, you know when you're not hooked up. You know it. You know when you ain't working in faith. You know when you ain't praying from faith. You can tell anybody anything you want. You know it. Inside of me, I know it when I ain't making it work. I've done it sometimes for up to a year. I'd keep going over and praying about a certain thing, knowing the whole time, I ain't hooked. This ain't working. I knew it, till I got out of my stubbornness and stopped and said, God, what's going on here? And I found out I prayed for things and for people sometimes. I wasted my time on it. Because it wasn't going to move a thing. But no, I'm smart. I know the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I want to know the Bible, but I want to know the Holy Ghost as well as I know the Bible. And when I'm not hooking up, that's what He's there. He's our partner in the ministry. He's our partner. He's the guy that works together with us. And I tell you, most of the time we never lean on Him. He's our partner in the ministry. We're workers together, the Bible says, with Him. We're workers together. Hallelujah. Me and God are a ministry team. Me and the Holy Ghost are a ministry. We're partners in the ministry. That's what we are. I cannot do without my partner, and my partner can't do without me. You never listen to a minister who tells you God don't need you. Because if he does, tell him to his face, then I don't need your gift. Hit the pike, buddy. You don't ever get another offering from me. I want to tell you what. God needs us. God has partnered with the born-again man in this earth. And He has partnered with him on purpose. Put the Holy Ghost in us. Hallelujah. To fulfill the plan of God. I'm going to tell you, use your partner. You don't use him enough. Hallelujah. There's things that I can't do without the partner. I can't accomplish it. I cannot make it happen. Things of power I can yield to, but I can't make it happen if he doesn't demonstrate himself. He must do that. And I've found out he's more willing to use power than we're willing to let him. Our unbelief stops him because we think, well, you know, he'll do it through Benny Hinn. You know, he'll use Benny. Hallelujah. No, he'll use you. That's what he wants to do. His desire is to use you in these manifestations of these gifts. Hallelujah. You know, just like, you know, talking about that woman, you know, in that room that day, he gives me a word of knowledge and then turned around and manifested, after giving me a word of knowledge about the lady, turns around and gives me a manifestation of a gift of faith in operation. So there's two gifts operate there. If I tie myself and say, well, I just have this gift, your faith can stop God from working because you tie yourself to one gift. Oh, this is how God uses me. Don't ever tie yourself to it. Like I went to India. I found even ministry gifts. You aren't necessarily tied to them. I had never been an evangelist or never had evangelistic anointing on me in any of my life. I've had the pastor and the prophets anointing on me. That's been my general one. There's three gifts, the teaching gift that operates. But I was over in India, and they wanted me to teach. They wanted me to do the night evangelistic services. You know, there's big crowds of people coming. I said, "No, I'm here. I teach pastors and I minister to them. And my general ministry is the ministry to believers. That's my general ministry. Is to believers. That's my general ministry. I'm called to do. I'm not an evangelist like a lot of people say. Oh, I want to reach the world. That's not my job. My job is to train and minister other people to get them to reach the world. My job is to do that. It's like the guy. That's my job is so you can do the work of the ministry, not so I can do the work of the ministry and you can watch. Hallelujah. But anyhow, I didn't want to do the evangelistic thing because number one, I knew you step outside your anointing, it's going to be a flop. It's going to be me trying to be an evangelist, and I just was not into that. And so they said to me, I said, man, you need to get an evangelist. Why, you know, you had these meetings here and I'm not an evangelist. Well, we want you to preach. And the guy said, I believe God wants you to. And I didn't want to hear that one. You know, that's not what I was going to listen to. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to go back to my room. And I said, I'll pray about this. And really, I didn't want to go back to my room and pray about nothing. Nothing had to do with that. That's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking, it knows. But I went back and prayed about 2 seconds on it. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to take those meetings tonight, I want you to handle them. I thought, dear God. Well, I couldn't say no to that, but I sure wanted to. I thought, does God know what he's doing? Does God have a clue? We got evangelism. You know, don't call a guy who pulls weeds and stuff out by hand and call him with a combine. I didn't have a combine. I was a guy that does one ear at a time. I was an evangelist. But I'll never forget. God gave me, you know, a really, you know, just a nice little evangelistic sermon he gave me. And I thought, that's really nice, but it ain't evangelist speaking it. But the most incredible thing, when I walked up on that platform, an anointing came on me I never had before in my life, and I knew what it was. And it just seemed like I could have said the word Jesus. I knew that people would just flock to that altar. I just knew. I knew that machine, harvest machine of God, was running. And I knew people were coming to Jesus. I just knew it. Just as much as the gift of faith come on me, and I know that what I just said is coming to pass. I just knew it. And I got up there and preached a little bit, and they came in droves. It just was amazing. Did that for a week and never had it since. Never had it since. But see, don't cut yourself off. See, most Christians, you know, the Bible teaches us to believe this big. And most Christians, you know, they got this little pea, and that's as far as you go in your believing, the size of that pea. This is just my gift over here where I'm at. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in it. God has never worked through me in that manner. What good would I do to preach to you about this stuff if it only would work through me? We could all just go home today and forget it. The reason I'm teaching you is from experience, from the Word and from experience of how this stuff works and what it does, how God wants to use you. You know, it's interesting, in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, there is an incident that took place with Saul on the road to Damascus. And I want to quick read something to you here. It's really good. I'm going to read down through it. I'm going to start in chapter 9 in verse 1. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, though if he found anyone who were of the way," in other words, they were believers in Jesus, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' So he trembled and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechlessly, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." So Saul was, this is the we talk about the conversion of Saul, but we want to see, here we see manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit is what brought Paul into the place. There's one thing, somebody had to be, I'm just going to tell you this, somebody had to be praying for this guy. Remember Jesus said to Peter, he said, well, you know, Jesus told him, whatever you bind on earth will be bound down in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed into heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. You know, if we don't pray, and this is why, you know, it's really, when Mike was talking this morning about praying wrong about our country can hold our country in great bondage. Praying about God, you need to rob this guy to give us this money. Whatever you bind on earth, heaven's going to go, let the thieves have their stuff. They're going to get the reward of their thievery. Whatever we bind. Somebody had to be praying for Paul. This guy's out doing his work. Somebody had to say, God, this man needs reach. You know, it's one thing that's always broke my heart about President Obama. He's a man on his way to hell. I don't know about you. I hate to think about that. He might have done a lot of hurt to this nation, but number one, I'd love to see the man get born again. I'd love to see him become a child of God. He's leading his entire family off to hell. So you play the politics of this thing, you lose sight, and you get over praying. You know, I'm glad he's gone as president, but I don't want him going on this earth. I'd like to have him saved. I'd like him to come to know Jesus. I mean, the church had good reason to want to see Paul struck by lightning and killed. But somebody had, because God reaches this man, but we haven't. Here this guy goes down. It's one of the things I always like that. They had this movie, I don't know if you saw the thing on TV, they made that movie about Paul. And so what happens was his eyes were closed like this, and they showed like scales over his his eyelids on the outside. He couldn't open his eyes. No, the scripture said he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. He was blinded. He could open his eyes, but he couldn't see. And we find out later, there was like scales fell off the eye itself, not off the eyelids. He opened his eyes and he was blinded. But he had a run-in with Jesus. It was a supernatural run-in. But what I want you to look at, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul, if we look at the New Testament and we take from the book of Acts, what is written about those, about Luke wrote about them, but you then go over to the letters starting at Romans and through, Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. Now, you talk about guy used to God phenomenally. I mean, I can say this without a doubt. Paul's revelations are what changed my life. My God. The revelations that Paul got. But I want you to see whom God used to set this ministry in order. What God did. And we're going to find out here. It says, verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. So in other words, this guy had a vision. Here we go. He is seeing into the spirit realm, discerning a spirit. He's seeing into the spirit realm. Ananias, he said, and he said, here am I, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. So in other words, here, a word of knowledge of where to go, where Paul is staying at. This is the gift of the word of knowledge. He's getting a word of knowledge from the Lord, telling him where something's operating. Here we see this guy. This is two gifts in operation. This man is a disciple. He is not a minister. He is just a born-again believer. He's just part of the Christian church. He is not some minister. We never hear about him again. But this guy was used by God to set in motion the most powerful ministry in the church. What if he'd have said, I'm sorry, I only have the gift of healing. That's all I, God will only use me there. Thank God he didn't do that. Hallelujah. He didn't do that. He told him where to go. He told him where the street was. And he says, and in a vision, so we want to find out about this. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and putting his hand on him. So Paul had a vision of this guy coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So he sees it. Now, number one, this guy's going to be used to bring Paul's sight back. God only uses me in words of knowledge. That's the only. He only uses me in tongues or interpretation. He only uses me in prophecy. Thank God this guy didn't think this way. I'll tell you what. Let God use you. Even if it wears you out, let him use you. He'll never abuse you. He won't do that. But let him use you. Hallelujah. So in verse 13 it says, Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Here's a word of wisdom. He's speaking the future of this guy's ministry. He's giving him a word of wisdom. You see how many gifts are in operation here? And this is just what we would call a layman in the church. You see, the church, do we need less of this today? Do we need less of these kind? We don't need these kind of things because they only use this stuff to get the church started. Well, I'm going to tell you what, then I was born in a lousy time and I wish I'd like to get off the face of this earth. If God's not going to operate in power, I want to leave. Because I tell you what, America's going to go to hell in a handbasket. If there's not a move in power of God, America's finished. And I'll tell you this, the people that don't believe in the power of the Spirit, the church people that don't believe in it, they're not going to bring any great revival to pass. Somebody who knows about the power of God is going to be able to stand in the face of God and ask for things they believe in. But men who don't believe in them don't ask for them. I ain't saying they're not children of God. They're not born again. But I'm going to tell you what. There's loads of things they can't do for God. They can't do for Him. You can't believe half the New Testament ain't true. It was only for back then. Hallelujah. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose. Oh, man, the Holy Ghost is waiting for us to loose some stuff. Hallelujah. Some good stuff. Hallelujah. Don't bind him up. Don't bind him from operating. Glory to God. He said, what? For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And it says, and Ananias went his way, and he entered the house, and laying his hands on him, that would be Saul, he said, Brother Saul. Well, we know this, Saul's getting born again. Saul's been born again because he calls him Brother Saul. Did he call him brother before when he heard about what he was doing? Now he found out. He says, Brother Saul, he said, the Lord who appeared to you on the road as you came. In other words, Paul saw Jesus in a vision. Now, it didn't say that in the beginning of the chapter. So Paul had an open vision, saw Jesus, heard what Jesus said to him. The men around him heard the voices but didn't see anything. He did. He said, Saul, the road you came has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say here, see, people say this is when Paul got born again. Have you ever heard getting filled with the Holy Spirit called the new birth? Never. It never has been called that. Never called that in Scripture. Because why? It's a different thing. Now, just think about this. This man's obedience opens the eyes of Saul, plus gets Saul filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a layman. He didn't have to call Benny Hinn at all. He didn't need to call his favorite minister. He didn't call his pastor and say, hey, could you go down and pray? I heard Saul's down here. God told him, would you go down and pray for him? Hallelujah. He went down. But I want you to get, this is one of the things I want you to see. Why is this story put in here? One thing, God didn't put this Bible together and then just have, let's put a couple stories in to fill it, make the narrative really better to read, easier to read, and let's do it. And this will be exciting. Everything that's written in this scripture is purpose. What's the purpose of this story? What's the purpose of this man? This Ananias. What is the purpose? The purpose is to show God using an individual believer as he wills. The Holy Ghost manifesting himself through a just everyday believer as he wills. Seemed like he willed pretty good there, didn't he, through that guy? See, from the time I got born again, I was really glad. I didn't know why, but see, God wouldn't let me go to churches. When I first got born again, I kept trying to go to a church, and the Lord said to finally, I got around to, he showed me a church I could go to, one I could go to, but then after that put me another church. But I didn't have people telling me that God didn't do certain things through certain people. I read the book and thought he would do it through me, and he did. From the time I got filled with the Holy Ghost, supernatural manifestations would happen through me. And I never had anybody tell me till after I started going to church that, well, maybe, no, God don't want to do that so much. You know, he'll maybe do a little bit of this through you and a little bit through that guy. I don't think any of us get used to the level that he wants to use us. I can only yield as far as my faith and my understanding can go. And I found this out. The more I understand, the more I can yield over to things. The more I get wisdom in an area, I can get yielded over to stuff. And so I have found that God has not said, well, you know, I gave you these certain gifts when you got born again. These are your gifts. And then you go out in your Christian life. That's it. You just got those. And that's, so don't think about anything else or don't do anything. That's not the way it works. Never has. Yeah, don't think about these. I don't want you to think about these gifts. Teaching the gifts, we might teach them in a group to give you understanding about God's movement, but it isn't because God's just going to corner you over in this little place to use you. It's like the word of knowledge, as soon as I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the same day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the word of knowledge started operating through me. I started knowing things. It just astounded me that I knew things. And at first I used to think, well, is this me? And then I'd find out. I'd ask people questions. I found out, my God, it was right. What come to me was right. I started to find out words of knowledge started coming to me. And I found out it did it pretty prevalently. And I want to tell you this as a Christian. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom should be probably two of the most predominant gifts that work in the church. Because I found out lots of times in ministry and other gifts, they're always in operation and they work. Brother Hagin, one of the things it is before he left this earth, for the last few years before he left this earth, he was talking about the spirit of seeing and knowing. He said, God wants to move in the spirit of seeing and knowing. Seeing and knowing. Why? If you don't can't see and know, there's a lot he cannot use you for. He can't. See, he's talking about these gifts. These gifts over here, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits, we want to bring them to the forefront because they have a lot to do because God wants to bring miracles and gifts of healing and gift of faith into prominence. And to do that, they're keys to bringing those things in. And see, this is what we do. You know, I don't want to be the corner of the market on nothing. Because we're limited. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus and his operation and ministry had a corner on the market. And he got his disciples to use some, but you know what? He was not a worldwide ministry because he operated, his ministry was geared just toward those, the Jews right there at the time. He ministered to them. And his ministry was because other people couldn't have him. Not being born again, man had a sin nature. They couldn't pass it on. The whole point of the new birth was to get the Holy Ghost in you so God could move through people. That's the purpose. It wasn't just to forgive you of your sin. It was so you become a temple of God so God can manifest himself through you. That's the purpose of the new birth. The new birth without the Holy Ghost living in you is what most Christians are, just waiting to die or Jesus come and haul them off. They don't expect to do much of anything. Just go to church and be a nice person. Well, that's good to go to church and be a nice person. But the power of God works through the Holy Spirit. And when man became a temple of God, you know, the disciples that started off, they went down to Jerusalem. And what do we have? The Holy Ghost comes and power is demonstrated. And from then on, it's demonstration of power. We have demonstration and demonstration. The book of Acts is about the demonstration of the power. They call it the Acts of the Apostles, and they shouldn't. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit by the cooperation of the apostles. That's what it was. They cooperated with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit demonstrate power. And that's what God wants you to be able to yield to Him so power can operate through you. The Holy Ghost wants to manifest His power. Now think about it. Jesus, we have over there, it was written about Jesus, John the Baptist said to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire of God is the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus tell you? You go down and wait in Jerusalem till the power comes. What was the power manifest as? Fire. Tongues of fire. The gifts of the Spirit are fire. The church is trying to have church without fire. You can't have church without fire. It's just a group of people meeting. Fire is what the difference. The whole baptism of the Holy Ghost is not about salvation. It's about the saved man getting fire on him. Hallelujah. It's about fire coming down on us. John G. Lake said, he talked about as he before he died. He said, I don't understand this baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, we have anymore. People get fear of the Holy Ghost. He said, I hear them talking in tongues, but there's no fire. He said, I don't know the Holy Ghost except by fire. He manifests fire. Many Christians think, oh, I got bad. I spoke in tongues. Ed Gibson spoke in tongues one day, and then that same day got words of knowledge. Fire started operating in me. Fire started. There's fire. And see, we need the fire, folks. We need the fire. God wants to use you. See, don't corner yourself in the market. Don't put yourself, well, I'm only do this. I'm a this or a that. You know, I do that. I work on the cars or I do this. I don't care. You know, I'm sure that Ananias wasn't working on cars. He didn't have them, but he might have been fixing wheels on chariots. I don't know. But there's one thing about it. He yielded the Holy Ghost and the power of God used that man to set in motion a ministry. You know, I often wonder what that man thought. It must have been like when I was down in Peru and I was in there. It was just so miraculous stuff going on. I'd go back to the hotel and lay down and say, God, am I sleeping and just dreaming and I'm going to wake up and none of this really did happen? It's just, God, is this real? I mean, I tell you what, I was out of my element because I was outside the my natural could not understand the glory that was taking place there. My natural couldn't, my brain couldn't grasp a hold of it. My mind, it was tilt. God was so glorious, I'm like, oh, my, this has to be God because Ed ain't even thought this far before. But see, I thought Ananias probably went back and he's laid down in his bed that night and said, God, was this really happening here? The whole thing. He said, what? You used me like that? You used me? Hallelujah. Let God use you. I'm going to tell you, get it on your lips. Don't go around and talk about yourself as if you're not important in the body of Christ. You know, well, you know, we're not really anything, and you know, God don't really need us, and God, don't talk. You talk that stuff, you and the devil are joined together to stop you from fulfilling the plan of God. You talk about how God wants to use you. See, the time I got born again, I believe God wanted to use me, because see, I read the book and I didn't, and listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I didn't have anybody tell me that I was supposed to amount to nothing. And so I just got over, read the book, and I thought, well, this is Christianity. You know, Jesus said, greater works than these you don't do, because I go to the Father. Well, God's going to use me. And I started saying, well, God will use me. I'd pray, and I used to say, talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm excited what you're going to do. Lord, you're going to use me. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you that I've set myself to be used. You're going to manifest yourself through me. See, how do you talk when you talk to God? Do you talk to God like he wants to do something giant through you, or are you just a beggar trying to get something? Faith people go in God's face and say, you know what, Lord, the word's true, and you're going to use me just like the word said. Hallelujah. If you don't use me that way, Lord, then you ain't telling the truth, and I'll have to tell people. I'll have to stand up and preach to people, God don't do what he says. You can't trust his word. Well, I never had to be able to do that. Hallelujah. Because why? He keeps his word. And he looks at you, and I want to tell you what, you're his treasure. You're something he went to a whole lot of trouble to get. He went to a load of trouble to get you. And do you view yourself in any other manner, I'm going to tell you, is a slap in the face to him. Religion has made the church a slap in the face to God. I'm going to tell you, the church, Jesus is coming for what? A people that ain't worth nothing? It says a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. A glorious church. A church that's full of glory. Not an old whore trying to drag it out of here. Oh, because the devil's done wore it out. And now we got to get it out of here before there ain't nothing else left. I'm going to tell you, he's coming back for a people that they're so full of the glory of the power of God. Hallelujah. A people that are not moved by what the world says about him or cares what the world says about him, that has something to offer this world that nobody else could possibly offer. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to offer to people just a nice message that Jesus wants to save you. We're going to prove to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. They're going to see him in demonstrations of the Spirit, and they're going to say, there's a living God. There is a living God. There is a living God, and they just showed him to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then they might believe what you preach. Hallelujah. Thank God we're not preaching a dead God. We have a living God. Hallelujah. And our living God is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Lord of all. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Breshkemanam. Veska skile tashke preta. Vrunde geshkimanana kolaketishti anone. Vurgabaya moniano gale eteshinemanakui. Erebagayatu kishke amamakiyada gayatushe. Engolaya. Engolaya ta ishia. Ishia. For I've set this day and time in motion. For I've set this place in this time. And I have a purpose, and I have a purpose in you. And I have a purpose that I've set forth in the church. Yes, many have looked at it and said, I do not desire it. But you've looked and said, I want it. I want it. You've looked and said, I'm hungry. You've looked and said, I'm going in that direction. I want that. I desire that. I crave for that. Yes, and I've seen your heart, says the Lord. I've seen what you've desired and what you want. Hallelujah. And with great joy, I come to you. With great joy, I reach out my hand to you. And with great joy, I reach out and touch you. Yes, and my glory shall be upon you in these days and hours ahead. Hallelujah. To reveal my glory to others. For you, oh, it seems because of the way things gone that not much has happened. And I, says the Lord, much has happened. Much has gone on in the spirit realm that has set things in motion for an explosion. And that explosion will come upon the face of the earth. Oh, yes. And many will tremble and many will quake. And I will reveal my glory. And my church shall stand up as a great giant in this last days. Hallelujah. Proclaiming my glory and showing it forth. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you're so doing. Oh, my, 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 my. Those words were so glorious. Hallelujah. So glorious. Hallelujah. Your word spoken to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word spoken to us. Hallelujah. Folks, I want you to understand those words were for all of us. Hallelujah. They aren't for a select few. That was spoken to us. That's ours. Hallelujah. You can take a hold of it by faith and say, that's mine. I'm going to walk in that. That belongs to me. Or you can say, well, I'll tell you what, maybe this person ought to do that or that person. But I'm not going to, and you're not going to either. Hallelujah. We're going to take it. It belongs to us. It's ours. It's ours. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the words, you know, we need to understand one of the things that God really enjoys doing. God loves to heal, and I know that by the ministry of Jesus. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. The healing ministry should be come to the forefront. Any other ministries, we need to understand, Jesus' ministry of healing was in the forefront. And we always talk about doing the works of Jesus. Well, healing is the work of Jesus. Healing is the work of Jesus. It's like the Lord spoke to me back in 1980. And said to me, the number one thing that he wants with his people, they get born again, filled with the Spirit, but the number one thing that he wants them to have is health. He said, I want my people to be well. That's the number one thing I want for my people. He said, because he said, through sickness, he said, the devil steals their money and they can't do with things that I want them to do. And he said, because their bodies are weak, they can't go where I want them to go. He said, the devil uses that. And he wasn't happy because he said, the church preaches God makes you sick to teach you something. He was not happy about that. Because why sickness steal? It's a thief. It's a thief. Hallelujah. Always treat it like a thief. You know what? Your body acts up on you. Get mad you're being stolen from. Amen. Quit coddling sickness. Don't coddle it. Amen. Call it what it is. It's sin. It's devil trying to bring things onto your life that don't belong to you and get mad at it. Amen. Hallelujah. What? I'm allowed to hate sickness. I can't hate people, but I can hate sickness. I'm allowed to. Glory to God. You ought to hate sickness. If sickness don't make you mad when it comes on you, you ain't got your faith where it belongs. It comes knocking on your door, you ought to just get madder than a hornet and say, darn, this ain't mine. This don't belong to me. Hallelujah. Jesus never went about making all these people sick so he could teach them something. You'll think if God made people sick, we'd have seen it in Jesus' ministry. So we had to see it sometime, and he didn't. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in any kind of oppression today, let's get it off of you in the name of Jesus. Anybody needs any help? Hallelujah. Come on down. The price is right. Don't cost you a nickel, just your faith. Anybody need help? I tell you what, it's time to do it. We're going to ask you.